Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our verse-by-verse study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to begin chapter 4 today, but before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask you to bless the study today. Bless and encourage the listener today, Lord. I pray the listener that who is saved would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, lest we forget the lost sinner that might be listening today, we pray that this be the very day that they place their faith and their trust in only the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else to pay for their sins and to secure them a home in heaven. Father, we ask it all now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, now let's begin. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to begin with verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Again, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Paul's desire was not only that they do right, which they seem to be doing, but that they continually abound more and more in their Christian walk. Now, the Bible has much to say about how a Christian ought to walk. Let me give you some references. Let me give you 8 things. First of all, a Christian ought to walk in newness of life. In newness of life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Number 2, a Christian ought to walk honestly. Honestly. Romans chapter 13, verse 13, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. Also, the scripture tells us that a Christian ought to walk in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. A Christian's walk should be a walk of faith. We should walk by faith, number 4, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Number 5, a Christian ought to walk in good works, in good works, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We're also told, number 6, that a Christian ought to walk worthy. He ought to walk worthy. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Number 7, a Christian is to walk in love. He's to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2. And then number 8, a Christian is to walk in wisdom. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Further, Paul continues by adding the words, and to please God. Paul wants them not only to walk correctly, but to please God in so doing. The Bible tells us, in order us to please God, one must walk, must not walk. Again, one must not walk in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if they want to please God. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Thus a man can never really please God until he is born again by the Holy Spirit, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 3 to 8. Now how is one born again or saved? My dear friend, by faith. For this reason we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, that's God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 2. We read, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Here Paul tells us that he gave those in Thessalonica some commandments, and they knew what they were. Now, the Bible is full of commandments. God has always given man a set of rules which he is to abide to please God. Many are familiar, for example, with the Ten Commandments found in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 20. It's interesting to see that Paul gives most of these to Christians as well as in the New Testament. Let me give you some examples. I want to give you some examples of the Ten Commandments in the New Testament. Let me give you some references. First of all, the commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods." Thou shalt have no other gods. Let's first turn to the book of Acts, chapter 15, and verse 28. "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." And, of course, the context of the chapter is that Paul and Barnabas and the others that are being sent out, Judas and Silas, this is the message that they would give to the Gentiles. Verse 29, "that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fear ye well." So, here we see, "thou shalt have no other gods." Amen? In other words, you'll abstain from meats offered to idols. Looking in 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 21, the Apostle John ends his first epistle in 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, and he says this, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen." Now the second commandment, "thou shalt not make any graven image." Now, I have a question mark, really, if that's reinstated. In the New Testament. Of course, these Ten Commandments are still on the books, amen, except the one that we, to remember the Sabbath, amen, we're not to remember the Sabbath, as the Jews were under the Old Testament law. But look in Colossians chapter 3 with me, in verse number 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5. Let's read there together. "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry." Now, one could say, anything that we put before God in our life is an idol. Amen. And I think even though this commandment isn't explicitly stated here, the inference is there that we are not to make any graven images. Amen. And of course, I've shared my testimony with some of you before on the year that for 36 years I was a Roman Catholic. And I can remember as a child and until adulthood going into a Catholic building, church, be it. And there would you see statue after statue of a man, supposedly dead saints, the Virgin Mary. There you'd have the image of Christ on the cross, crucified, amen. I'm so glad that I get out of that religion. I'm so glad that I get saved, amen. It's almost 20 years ago. I praise God for that day. And if you're saved, you're listening today, you should praise God for the day that you became born again, amen. The third commandment, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God in vain, even though explicitly is not, amen, stated in the New Testament. It's still on the books, amen. We're still not to take the Lord's name in vain, amen. Again, remember the Sabbath day is not in the New Testament. As Christians, we meet on the first day of the week because that's the day that the Lord was resurrected, amen. Honor thy father and mother. That's explicitly stated here in the New Testament. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verses 1 to 3, Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. So here we see honor thy father and mother is stated here explicitly in the New Testament. Thou shalt not kill. Looking in Romans 13. In fact, in Romans 13, there are quite a few that are of the Ten Commandments that are stated here in the New Testament. Look in Romans chapter 13. Look at in verse 9. Romans 13, verse 9. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. There's one there. Thou shalt not kill. There's another one. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. There's another one. Thou shalt not bear false witness. There's another one. Thou shalt not covet. There's another one. And of course, thou shalt not steal. You can also find that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. And thou shalt not covet. Also in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. However, Paul is not putting New Testament Christians under the law by ordering Christians to obey the above commands. He is only commanding them to do these things because they, as it says in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please God. And truly, that ought to be a Christian's desire to please God. Now, a Christian is not saved by the law. For according to Paul's epistle to the Galatians, the law is a curse, and Christ came to redeem us from it. Let's go to that great passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 3 together. Galatians chapter 3, in verses 10 through 13. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ, here it is, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. He was made, we were born into this world with the Adamic nature. Amen. Under the curse of the law. But he has redeemed us from the curse of the law because he became a curse. So that curse that we were under the law could be lifted and done away with. I sometimes think we really, as Christians, don't appreciate and love the Lord Jesus Christ like we should. And one of the reasons for that is, if you'll be honest, a lot of Christians do not study the Word of God as they should. Because as they go through the Word of God, in particular the New Testament, you really get appreciation for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you individually. Amen. Man cannot save himself by the law. You know, when you run against someone you're dealing with about their soul, and we're commanded to do that, and one of the things they say, well, I, you know, keep the Ten Commandments, and of course, that's just a smokescreen. No one can keep the Ten Commandments. The only one that could keep the Ten Commandments was the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? But look at clearly, here's a verse to show them, to give to someone that's unsaved, to say that they're justified, that they keep the law, or they're kept because of their good works, or whatever, they're going to heaven because of their good works. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing, see, this is another thing. Religion likes to keep people in the dark. They don't want you to know. I remember growing up again as a Roman Catholic, we weren't encouraged to read even the Catholic Bible because they wanted basically to keep us ignorant. But as you read Paul's epistles, what I like about Paul is he tells us things that we can know in the present tense right now, that we don't have to wait till we die, thank God. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, we read, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. So Paul writes clearly, you can know right now, if you're trusting in your good works to justify you, to make you right before God, it isn't going to happen. That's not how you're justified. Well, then how am I justified before God? How am I made just? He just doesn't tell us that, you know, your good works can't justify you, but he gives you the answer, how you can know that you're justified, or what you have to do to be justified, amen. You basically have to do nothing but faith. He says, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Faith. See? By the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. So you're justified by the faith of Christ. And then again, he says, he emphasizes again how you're justified, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. No human being in the church age, this age of grace, right now, present tense, can be justified by any kind of works. Anything that your flesh, you as a human being, even in the eyes of the world, is deemed good. Amen. And certainly, history will prove we've had many good people that have done many good things. Amen. But if they haven't have faith in Jesus Christ, despite all the good that they've done, as hard as this statement is, but it's true, they're burning in hell right now. You may say to yourself, you're meaning to tell me someone like dear, sweet Mother Teresa, who worked amongst the poor in India, devoted her whole life to that. If she didn't place her faith in Jesus Christ to save her, she's in burning in hell right now. I have to say, as hard as it is to say it, the Word of God is the truth. And the Word of God we just read it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The only thing that justifies you and me is faith and Jesus Christ. Nothing else. A man cannot save himself by the law, or we just saw by his works. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. See, the problem with most people today is this. What is your final authority? Amen. And of course, people have problems with authority today in every aspect of our society. But my authority, what I put over me, amen, is this Word of God, is this King James Bible. This is God's very words, and He's chosen to preserve them. Amen. He's chosen to preserve His inspired, infallible, inerrant words in this King James Bible. So this is, when I want answers, when I want the truth, this is where I go to. This Bible, the King James Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And of course, when we talked about being saved, saved from our sin, saved from the wages of sin is death, saved from spending time and eternity in a lake of fire. That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about physical, being saved physically, amen. We're talking about spiritually, the part of us, our soul, which is eternal, which will never die. It's either going to spend place in heaven for eternity or in that lake of fire. But we read in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This is right over the plate, as they say. There's nothing that you can do on your own to be saved. It's a gift. It's a gift that God gives every human being. And then in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is not of works, because if it was of works, then you could go around and boast, I've done this, I've done that, so forth and so on, I'm going to heaven based on that. That's not what the Word of God says. You're saved by grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That gift of God is His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who left the glories of heaven, left the glory of His Father that they shared together, came down in the form of human flesh, so that He could give Himself a ransom for many or for all. So He could appease an angry God who hates sin. Amen. He was a sacrifice. Amen. He went to that cruel cross of Calvary. Why? So that you and I do not have to face eternity in a lake of fire. Amen. If you're listening today and you haven't received Him, you need to receive Him. You need to receive Jesus Christ by faith. Amen. You need to put all your eggs in one basket. The Lord Jesus Christ is your basket. You want to go to heaven, you want to have your sins forgiven, you want to stand before a holy God justified and righteous, then you need to come to Christ, and you need to come to Him right now, my friend. Looking in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 with me. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Talking about Abraham, but we apply it to us. In other words, believeth on Him, Jesus Christ is who it's talking about, because He's the one that justifieth. Justifieth the ungodly. I know you don't like it, but that's what you are without Christ, is ungodly. That's how I was, ungodly, until I came to Christ, till I received Him by faith. Amen. See, His faith in Christ, is counted for righteousness. You want to stand righteous before a holy God, then you need to believe on Christ. Amen. Again, we're talking about a Christian is not saved by the law. He's not saved by his good works. Amen. He's saved by Jesus Christ alone. And I'm going to stop right here for now. And we're going to pick up again in our studies in 1 Thessalonians. But if you're looking for answers, you're listening today, and you want to find the truth. People have been lying to you all your life. If you want to find the truth, then you need to pick yourself up a King James Bible. You don't need a reference Bible, any fancy one, amen, just with the words of God into the King James Bible, and read it for yourself, my friend. But you need to come to Christ, and you need to come to Him right now in order to be saved. Well, that's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study today. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today on the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.